listeners, welcome to What I'm Cooking for Dinner, a podcast that takes you on a culinary journey through my mind, a passionate home cook. I'm your host, Haley, and I'm thrilled to invite you to join me on this delicious adventure. We all know that deciding what to cook for dinner can sometimes feel like an insurmountable challenge. Whether you're a culinary expert or a kitchen newbie, we've all faced the same question. What's for dinner tonight? But fear not, this podcast is here to inspire and guide you. In this week's episode, we are going to be taking a look at marinated tomatoes with mozzarella balls, spicy Asian cucumber salad, miso buttermilk biscuits, sesame apricot tofu, layered strawberry and vanilla cake, chocolate cake, and butter chicken. All right, let's get started. All right, so our first recipe is marinated tomatoes with mozzarella balls. And this is based on a recipe from Half Baked Harvest called marinated cherry tomatoes with burrata. So the original recipe was written with a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 tablespoons of champagne or apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of honey, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic, half a cup of fresh basil, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh thyme, kosher salt and black pepper, chili flakes, 3 cups of cherry tomatoes, two to three balls of burrata cheese. So you mix together the olive oil and the vinegars, the honey, the garlic, the basil, and the salt and pepper and the chili flakes all together. And then you add the tomatoes and then you marinate it in the refrigerator for about half an hour. We did it for about an hour because we had to go pick up the kids from school, but came back, and then you add the cheese. So in terms of any substitutions and changes that I had to make here, I used sherry vinegar instead of the champagne or apple cider vinegar. That's what I had on hand. I do recommend using the champagne or apple cider vinegar. Sherry vinegar has a very specific taste that I'm not really sure if it went here. And then I left out the fresh thyme. I just didn't have any. And then for the tomatoes, last week we got from our CSA, we got a mix of cherry tomatoes, beefsteak, and Roma tomatoes. So I took the cherry tomatoes and halved those. And then for the beefsteak and the Roma tomatoes, I chopped those up into about half inch pieces or so, maybe a little bit bigger than that actually. So that everything was kind of about the same size. And then I used mozzarella balls instead of the burrata. We just tend to like those a little bit better. They're also a little bit cheaper than burrata, so, and easier to find. And this was really good. We served it with some bread and I think just, some other stuff along the side. Oh, and some salami, yeah, on the side. And it made for a really nice, fresh kind of summer dinner. So next up is spicy Asian cucumber salad from Recipe Tin Eats. And originally written, this was 4 cucumbers, 3/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1 shallot, 1 cup of green onion, 2 tablespoons of crispy chili oil, and 2 teaspoons of white sesame seeds. And then for the dressing is 1.5 tablespoons of rice vinegar, 2 teaspoons of soy sauce, and 2 teaspoons of sesame oil. So I ended up only using 2 cucumbers because that's all I got in our CSA, and mine had a really thick skin, so I think that I would like to next time peel them. But what you do is you take the cucumber whole and you smash it with a meat tenderizer or with a rolling pin, And so that it kind of has this craggier texture when you slice it, and that kind of holds onto the dressing a little bit better. You cut those up into slices, and then you add that 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, and you let that sit for half an hour so that the salt can leach out some of the additional water from the cucumber. Then you drain it, okay? And then to that, you're gonna add your shallot, very thinly sliced. I accidentally chopped mine, it was okay. I didn't read the directions clearly enough. And then you're gonna take your green onion, finely sliced. You're only using the green part. I didn't actually use any green onion. I didn't have any on hand, but I can see why it would be really good here. And then for the chili, crispy chili oil, I use Trader Joe's brand. There's a bunch of different brands that you can find, but I chop at Trader Joe's, so I use their brand. For the dressing, I ended up using white vinegar, which was fine here, instead of the rice vinegar, because I was all out of rice vinegar. And this was a really nice side dish that we had along with some buttered chicken that I'll be talking about in just a few minutes. I really liked it. I thought the spice level went really nicely with the really like fresh, light cucumber taste. My only thing was that I wished that I had peeled the cucumbers or used a cucumber that has a thinner skin, because the ones that I had had a really thick skin and it didn't make for the most pleasant eating experience. But I think this would also be really great in something like a poke bowl. All right, so next up is the miso buttermilk biscuits from Dessert Person, written by Claire Saffitz. This is a cookbook. She also has a YouTube channel called Dessert Person. If you're not familiar with Claire Saffitz, she used to be part of Bon Appetit, and she did the whole gourmet makes thing where she would take like a snack that's really common and make it gourmet. And I really love her YouTube channel. I really highly recommend going and checking it out. That's Dessert Person. It's Claire Saffitz. And she has two cookbooks out, but the one that I have from her is called Dessert Person. These miso buttermilk biscuits call for 1/2 cup of sweet white miso, 1 1/4 cups of buttermilk, 3 1/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 sticks of unsalted butter, and freshly ground black pepper. So pretty much what you're doing here is you are making biscuits, but you're also adding as your liquid buttermilk mixed with miso. I used a yellow miso because that's what I had in my refrigerator. It's a little bit more aged. It has a bit of a funkier flavor. And these biscuits were, you know, tall, they were fluffy, they were like layered and buttery, and they had this really nice, almost cheesy flavor that the miso gives them. And it's an interesting technique that she uses here where, you know, you roll out your dough and then you cut it into quadrants and then you stack those quadrants on top of each other and then you roll it out again. And that is kind of what is gonna give you those flaky layers. I had some things going on with mine where a couple of them kind of flopped over. And I don't know if that was, you know, my errors during the shaping process. But I'd really like to try it again. I also think that I didn't cook mine long enough because they were a little bit underdone inside. So I'm really excited to try out this recipe again now because I have more buttermilk and they were really delicious. We don't have any left and I baked them yesterday. So I gave them away to a bunch of people, but they were really, really good. All right, so next up is sesame apricot tofu from Pinch of Yum. And so this recipe calls for 1 block of extra firm tofu, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, and 2 tablespoons of olive oil for the tofu part. For the apricot sauce, you're gonna have 1/3 cup of apricot preserves, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1 to 2 tablespoons of rice vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon each of cumin, paprika, and onion powder, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt. All right, so for this, you really do want to be using a high-protein tofu. It really works really well in this recipe to kind of get the really chewy, crispy texture that you want to get. So what you want to do is you want to press and drain your tofu. You do this by placing it on, like, you want to cut it in half, like hamburger style, and then you place those 2 halves on, like, a baking sheet, put paper towels down, and then put paper towels down on top of the tofu. Put something heavy on top so that more of the liquid from the tofu is released. Then what you're going to do is you are going to tear up the tofu into kind of irregular chunks, and you are then going to put the cornstarch over the tofu and then fry it in the olive oil. Don't forget also that you need to add the soy sauce there to marinate the tofu. I ended up using dark soy sauce here because that's all I had on hand. And I would not recommend that. I would use regular soy sauce. Dark soy sauce is very intensely flavored. It's much saltier and has a much funkier flavor than your regular soy sauce that you come across. And then while that is frying, so you leave it, you put it in the frying pan for about 5 minutes, don't move it, and then flip it over, go for another 5 minutes, stir it, and then another 5 minutes. It takes about 15 minutes to get it nice and crispy. For your apricot sauce, you're just gonna mix together the apricot preserves, the soy sauce, the vinegar, and those seasonings. I ended up using, again, dark soy sauce here, and then I used white vinegar because I was out of rice vinegar. Tofu is done cooking, you add the apricot sauce to the tofu. And I have to say, I like this, but I don't think that the cumin and the paprika really went with the soy sauce and apricot. But I kind of didn't feel like that cumin really went with the soy sauce, and neither did the paprika. And I'm not really sure what I would use here instead. I just feel like those kind of flavors didn't really go together. However, I did really, really like the texture here of the tofu. Tofu gets a bad rap. But I think that's mostly because people don't know how to cook it. And I actually really like it. I think it's a nice alternative and it's a nice break from eating meat and still getting protein. And I really enjoy the texture here for it. I just think that I would use some different seasonings besides the cumin and the paprika. Honestly, I probably would just leave those two things out and just use the onion powder and some more garlic powder and maybe some ginger. Okay. So next up is homemade strawberry and vanilla cake with vanilla buttercream. It was my daughter's birthdays last weekend, and this is the first year that they've each requested their own cake. So I had to make two birthday cakes, and so one was a strawberry and vanilla cake with vanilla buttercream, and then the other one was a chocolate cake with vanilla buttercream. Okay, so for the homemade strawberry and vanilla cake with vanilla buttercream, I used the homemade strawberry cake recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction. And what I did was I made the base of the strawberry cake for one third of it. I didn't add the strawberry puree. And then for two thirds of it, I added the strawberry puree. So what you do is you're gonna take a pound of strawberries, you're gonna rinse them, hull them, chop them up, and then you are going to make them into a puree. So you're going to cook them on the stovetop until they boil down. You gotta blend them first. And then you boil that down and you'll get a kind of reduced puree. And then for the cake part, you're gonna do 2.5 cups of cake flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of salt, 170 grams of butter, 1 3/4 cups of granulated sugar, 5 large egg whites, and 1/3 cup of sour cream or yogurt, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 1/2 cup of whole milk, and then 1/2 cup of that strawberry puree, and then some red or pink food coloring. Then, you know, you make a cake. This cake had great lift. I was really happy with the texture of it when it first came out and when we ate it. And then for the buttercream for this one, we did, it was 2.5 cups of butter, 5 cups of powdered sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 2 tablespoons of whole milk. The buttercream recipe is actually from Simply Recipes, where I was following how to make their unicorn cake. Between the buttercream and the cake, it was very, very sweet. I was not a fan of how sweet it was, and I honestly did not really get any strawberry flavor from the strawberry cake, which is weird because I actually ended up using more puree in the cake than what it called for because I only had 2/3 of the amount of batter, but all of the puree. And so I would have expected a more intensely flavored strawberry cake. But really, all I could taste was how sweet this cake was. And some other people agreed that it was very, very sweet, but the kids really liked it. The texture was great, though. I was really happy with the texture. I just think that next time I would use a different frosting. I'm not a big fan of American buttercream. It's overly sweet, but it's really easy to ice with, and the cake looked beautiful. So the other cake was a chocolate cake with vanilla buttercream. I used a chocolate cake recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction. I think this is her triple chocolate cake recipe. I just used the chocolate cake base for it, the actual sponge part. And this is 1¾ cup of all-purpose flour, 3/4 cup of unsweetened natural cocoa powder, 1¾ cup of granulated sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of espresso powder, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 2 large eggs, 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 1 cup of buttermilk, 1 cup of freshly brewed coffee, and, you know, you make your cake. I'm not going to go into all the steps of making a cake. I don't think I didn't do any substitutions here. And when I'm reading off these ingredients, I'm using the volume measurements and imperial volume measurements. When I actually bake, though, I use metric system and I weigh everything. It's just much more accurate that way. And any for these cake recipes, when you're seeing all the dairy and the eggs, and you are using room temperature ingredients because you don't want any sort of breakage to happen in your batter where you get it gets grainy. And this chocolate cake was really good. It was a really nice, moist chocolate cake. In fact, it was so moist that it didn't come out of one of the tins. So originally, the unicorn cake was supposed to be chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, but I was not smart, and I did not put a parchment paper lining down on my tin for the chocolate cake, and it did not come out of the cake tin at all, so it ended up being a strawberry and vanilla cake. But the chocolate cake was really delicious. I used the same buttercream as I used for the unicorn cake. Again, it was very, very sweet. I think it would have been way better as a chocolate frosting and chocolate cake, but my daughter wanted a green lightsaber cake, so vanilla it was in order to get that green color for the lightsaber. And it turned out really cute, and everybody was really happy with it, so it was really nice and fun. I love making birthday cakes. I think it's fun. I'm not the greatest at decorating, but it's really fun to make the cakes and make the kids happy with the cakes. So our last recipe of the episode today is butter chicken from Recipe Tin Eats. When I asked my daughters what they wanted for dinner on their actual birthday, they said that they wanted the butter chicken from one of the local Indian restaurants. I was like, no, we're not going to get takeout. I can just make you butter chicken. It's pretty simple. So this recipe calls for 1/2 cup of plain yogurt, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of turmeric, 2 teaspoons of garam masala, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 tablespoon of ginger, 2 cloves of garlic, and 1½ pounds of chicken thigh fillets. And then for the curry sauce, it's 2 tablespoons of ghee or butter, or 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, 1 cup of tomato puree, and 1 cup of heavy cream, and then 1 tablespoon of sugar, and 1¼ teaspoon of salt. So you cut up the chicken and you marinate it in the yogurt and lemon juice, turmeric, and all the spices, and let that marinate for several hours. And then you cook it in a ghee or butter or vegetable oil. Once that is, you kind of get it so that all the chicken's white, and then you add your tomato puree and your heavy cream, your sugar, and your salt. Now, a couple of things. We didn't have any ginger. Didn't realize that we didn't have any. I thought we had some in the freezer. I buy those boxes that have the individually portioned things of ground ginger. Really nice trick there. I really, really hate having to grate ginger, so I buy those. Same thing with garlic. I buy the pre-grated garlic for the freezer. It's much better than the canned stuff or the jarred stuff. We used chicken breasts because that's what we prefer, as opposed to the chicken thighs. It would be great with chicken thighs. We just like chicken breasts better. For the butter or ghee or vegetable oil, I actually used coconut oil here. I don't know why, I just felt like it. I was out of heavy cream, and this is probably where I made an error that significantly impacted the recipe. I used a combination of half and half and whole milk instead of just going out and getting more heavy cream. And this did not give that creamy, velvety texture that you normally get with butter chicken, and the sauce broke and was a little grainy. And it wasn't the best butter chicken that I've made. That's no fault of the recipe. That was my execution. All right, so that's a wrap for this episode of When I'm Cooking for Dinner. I hope you're leaving with a belly full of inspiration and excitement for your next meal. If you've enjoyed this culinary journey, please consider subscribing to our podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want to share your thoughts, recipes, or perhaps a story of your own, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out by sending an email to whatimcookingfordinner@gmail.com. That's whatimcookingfordinner@gmail.com. I can't wait to read your messages and maybe even feature some of your culinary adventures in future episodes. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at whatimcookingfordinner for delicious food photos. And as we wrap up, I want to just express how thankful I am for you joining us on this voyage. Your support means the world to me, and I'm excited to continue sharing the joy of cooking with you. So until next time, happy cooking, everyone. Bye.